It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for joining us this morning. In early August, President Biden announced as part of his administration's Build Back Better plan, a new executive order that encourages auto manufacturers to significantly increase their output of electric vehicles within the next 10 years.
I'm signing an executive order setting out a target of 50% of all passenger vehicles sold by 2030 will be electric.
We're talking about electric cars, from the demand for these vehicles to challenges purchasing them and even charging them here in Wisconsin. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about electric vehicles? What steps does Wisconsin need to take to make it more friendly and feasible for electric vehicles for you to purchase them or charge them? And if you own an electric car, why did you get it and how do you like it? Call in now, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Jeremy Orr is the Emerging Technologies Program Manager for the nonprofit Renew Wisconsin, which promotes renewable energy efforts. Jeremy, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with some statistics. The Pew Research Center says there were almost 2 million electric vehicles registered in America as of 2020. The Renew Wisconsin website says that there are fewer than 9,000 electric vehicles here in Wisconsin. How do we compare to other states?
Yeah, sure. When you're looking at other states, just looking at like market share data and whatnot, Wisconsin currently is roughly about 25. That's looking at registration data from DOT. It's looking at market share and whatnot. It's looking at passenger electric vehicles. So we're currently ranked about 25, but there is an uptick in interest in electric vehicles throughout the state, which we're seeing from a lot of our stakeholders and partners and just people on the ground we chat with every day.
And, do we have a sense as to why, compared to other states right now, we have so few electric cars on the roadways?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are a lot of different policies in place in the states that I think, might draw manufacturers to sending electric vehicles to those states. For instance, California with its higher level of clean car standards and things of that nature. And I think just maybe lifestyle issues and perceptions of electric vehicles. We still have a long ways of education and outreach to do in Wisconsin. You've heard of the term range anxiety, especially in a cold weather climate like Wisconsin. Folks are worried that maybe their car's not going to make it from point A to point B, especially in the winter when battery ranges might decline significantly or enough to maybe cause alarm in some people. So that might have been a huge deterrent early on in Wisconsin. But as we've continued to, our outreach education going forward, letting folks know that, hey, even in your average, let's say like a Chevy Bolt, its average range of 238 miles in the winter, all of Bolt EV owners are still experiencing 160, 170 miles, even on a sub-zero day.
Well, we know that part of this, too, has to deal with infrastructure issues in Wisconsin. And I want to turn to a conversation that we had last week on the morning show. Wisconsin Department of Transportation Secretary Designee Craig Thompson spoke with host Kate Archer Kent about the future of infrastructure in the state. Here's what he had to say.
I think we're going to be moving much more rapidly to electrification of our transportation system than people realize. It's coming quick, and I think it'll be very good for the environment.
And so, Jeremy, what do you think about what Secretary Designee Thompson had to say?
No, I think he's spot on. I mean, when you look at infrastructure, right? So we'll start with most people do charge from home. 80% to 90%, depending on who you talk to, they charge from home for the most part. It's when you start traveling to, along corridors, you're looking at charging stations here and there. And that can be that perceived range anxiety. In some cases, I think it's real. Other cases, I don't think so. But like he was saying, we are going to move forward with a lot of infrastructure sooner than later. We've got projected, our VW 7 funds, for instance, there's a proposal to use $5 million of those funds just for stations in Wisconsin. That would be huge. And then looking at the federal level, a lot of the federal level infrastructure packages that potentially could trickle down to Wisconsin, we're talking almost $80 million that could find its way into the state. A large portion of that would likely just go to infrastructure, looking at how we could help facilitate EV adoption by actually deploying infrastructure along corridors, other underrepresented areas and rural areas and things of that nature.
We're talking to Jeremy Orr right now, Emerging Technologies Program Manager for the nonprofit Renew Wisconsin, which promotes renewable energy efforts. And I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Mike in St. Lawrence. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just heard the tail end of what you were talking about, charging stations, and that was my question. Not my question, my point. It would seem like if you could, I don't know, work with some of the major gas stations, I know that would be against them because they're charging electric cars instead of selling gas. But if you could make it more convenient to get a charge somewhere, that's the only thing that holds me back from driving. You know, I can plug it in when I'm home, but now I'm going to go down to Florida. And if I got to stop here for a charge and stop here for a charge and then stop for a motel and then stop for a charge and then stop for a charge and then, you know what I'm saying? Anyhow, that's my thought.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for that. And your response, Jeremy.
Yeah, no, it's a common concern shared by, you know, most people in the U.S., not just here in Wisconsin. You know, driving from point A to point B along the corridor. If I want to drive from Wisconsin to Florida, where do I stop? How long is it going to take to charge and whatnot, right? First, I'll say there are apps online you can look at. Like, for instance, the Alternative Fuels Data Center is a great tool. You can go online. You can map out an entire route. They have a station locator. They also have a mapping tool that you can use and select level 2, select DC fast, select Tesla, whatever it is. And you can map out along your route where you can stop and charge. So you know, within a certain amount of certainty that within 5 miles of that corridor, you'll find all these charging stations from that app all the way from where you're traveling. But also, yeah, like you said, the convenience, you know. So we might see a shift in how we do charge because of increased battery ranges, increased battery capacities, and different charging stations coming out of the market soon. But as it is right now, we like to deploy, you know, if you're traveling along a corridor, you know, keep it close to the corridor, the charging station, and charge somewhere where you can get out, grab a bite to eat, you know, use the restroom, shop for a moment, and come back to your car and travel again. I think in the past, that was more daunting when you think about the slower charging times you had in the past. But with increased technologies now, you're going to get X amount of range from these higher output charging stations now, and cars are better able to take that charge as well going forward. You're going to get a lot of mileage for less time charging going forward as we start, you know, as this battery technology increases and charging technology increases.
So drivers that might be curious about getting an electric car, they've just heard what you said about maybe on the front end of some travel, planning out their charging trip, as it were. What else do drivers need to know if they say, hey, I'm going to take the plunge?
Yeah, you mean in addition to like knowing where the charging stations are and whatnot?
Or just in general with buying a car?
Sure. I think, you know, first and foremost, check in with your local utility. They may have some rebates there for, a vehicle itself. They may have some rebates for a charging station if you're interested in having a charging station at your house, like a level 2 charging station. You know, because most people can plug right into the garage. It's level 1. You buy a vehicle, plug in your 110 volt in your garage, and you're good to go. But for those that want a higher charge, you can purchase level 2. But I'd say check in with your local utility. Also know that federal tax credits still exist for vehicles. You know, you have, I forget the range off the top of my head, $2,500 to $7,500, depending on the vehicle and depending on the manufacturer and whatnot. But take a look into that as well. You know, those tax credits can be significant in that, you know, in EVs, in a lot of regard, they still have a high sticker price. Even though long term, you are saving money over the long term because you're not getting oil changes, you know, reduced brake maintenance, reduced maintenance overall. There's still that initial sticker shock that people still experience. So take advantage of your utility rebates. Take advantage of, you know, federal tax credits, and take advantage of anything that might come down in the future at the state level or other federal initiatives that might come down.
We are talking about electric cars right now with Jeremy Orr of the nonprofit advocacy group Renew Wisconsin. And we're taking your calls right now. What do you want to know about the electric vehicle industry? If you own an electric car, what do you think about it? And if you're curious, we want to hear from you. Call 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. Yeah. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we continue our conversation about the future of electric cars. According to the Pew Research Center, the fastest growing sector of electric vehicles are cars that run entirely on power. In 2020, there were more than a million all-electric vehicles registered in the United States, and that's up from just 300,000 4 years ago. And we want to hear from you. Are you considering buying an electric car? What about electric vehicles appeal to you? What concerns do you have? Call 800-642-1234. Our guest right now is Jeremy Orr, Emerging Technologies Program Manager for the nonprofit Renew Wisconsin, which promotes renewable energy efforts. Now, one thing I want to talk about are sales of these cars, but due to state law, there aren't direct-to-consumer sales of electric cars. But State Senator Dale Coyenga and Representative Adam Nalin have written a bill to change that. Can you talk a little bit about what is in that proposed legislation?
Yeah, for sure. So the direct sales legislation, hot topic right now, right? Basically, what that would allow, it would allow an EV, you know, any manufacturer of vehicles that manufactures EVs could sell that EV, you know, that electric vehicle directly to the consumer, whether online or set up shop here and sell directly to the consumer. That way, you know, there's no requirement to have a third-party franchise or third-party dealership franchise at that point. The manufacturer could set up shop and sell directly to the consumer, which would be significant because we have, in 2020, 45% of EV sales in Wisconsin were actually in-state, meaning they bought, you know, from the dealership, but 55% occurred out-of-state. That's 55% of all total sales in 2020 for electric vehicles. People had to leave the state to buy the vehicle and then bring that back into the state. So, I mean, talking about the lost, you know, sales revenue and other things, and just removing a market barrier for consumers to let them decide how they want to purchase an electric vehicle would be significant.
I want to go to our callers right now, Jeremy. We have Judy in Franklin. Hi, Judy.
Good morning.
What did you want to ask about?
Well, thanks. I have heard that the disposal of the electric car batteries is a huge ecological concern and environmental concern. So can you tell me if that's true or not?
Jeremy.
Yeah, it's a great question and a common concern. When you're looking at like battery recycling and whether it's toxic or not, there's federal legislation that actually mandates that, not just for electric vehicles, but batteries in general and other sorts of environmental issues. Off the top of my head, I think it's called CERCLA. But I may be wrong there. It might be something else. RCRA, RCRA. I forget what the actual acronyms actually stand for. But there is federal legislation actually mandates certain disposal of toxic materials. Now, when it comes to electric vehicle batteries, you know, there is a huge push to do more recycling of batteries when they get down to 90% life or 80% life to actually recycle them. You know, if you're starting to see that movement around the U.S., which is great, you know, we can just reuse those batteries, recycle them, reuse them. Use them in different vehicles, whatnot. You see individuals doing this themselves where they'll buy used batteries and then convert a traditional vehicle into an electric vehicle using that battery, and the battery's just fine. So rather than just disposing, you know, outright, folks are actually recycling and reusing those batteries. And that's a huge, huge thing going forward when you're talking about raw materials in the extractive industry and how we can better accommodate that as well.
And I'm not sure if you have the specifics, but I want to throw this out there that compared to the pollution we might see from batteries, how does it compare to the petroleum industry currently?
Did you ask the extractive portion? Was that the question?
Yeah, if we could just take a deeper dive there.
Yeah, I don't have numbers as far as the extractive, you know, how much the extractive industry itself, you know, the battery industry versus, you know, your traditional gas industry. But I do know that the recycling would cut down that demand significantly going forward and help meet market demand for EVs as we go forward.
We're talking to Jeremy Orr right now, Emerging Technologies Program Manager for the nonprofit Renew Wisconsin, which promotes renewable energy efforts. I'm going to go back to our calls right now. We have Saul in Stevens Point. Hi, Saul.
Hi. One, he just brought up another point, and that is he's talking about reuse, not recycling, and two different questions. The second thing is Foxconn is talking about building chassis for electric vehicles. They've already got a deal with Fisker and have cooperative agreements with Microsoft and some other high-tech manufacturers. And yet, as far as I can tell, the state is not engaged in any active pursuit in getting that Mount Pleasant plant converted to making electric vehicles. I wonder if your guest knows anything about it.
Thanks for that call, Saul. Jeremy, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. It's something I think is brought up, frequently with folks. I think the main thing to understand, though, when it comes to whether any manufacturer would, in fact, utilize Foxconn's facility for manufacturing EVs, I think the main thing we have to realize right now is the direct sales. That's a huge impediment. Without having direct sales, it's a huge impediment for any manufacturer to actually want to set up shop in Wisconsin and then, manufacture electric vehicles in Wisconsin and then sell directly to the consumer. So I think once we get past that hurdle of direct sales, if that legislation passes, then we can start talking to our EV manufacturer partners and say, hey, do you want to set up shop here in Wisconsin? Do you want to manufacture EVs and do you want to sell directly to the consumer? So there are no guarantees, of course, but the main impediment people look at right now is just direct sales.
And thank you so much for that call, Saul. I'm going to go right back to the lines because we've got a lot of people who have questions and comments. Lynn in Stevens Point. Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up?
Yeah, I wanted to address the question of why people buy electric vehicles. My first job out of college as a chemist was working for Amoco Oil Corporation down in Chicago. And my job was to test badges that were worn by employees of Amoco that worked at their oil refineries. And what I was testing them for was benzene. Benzene has been known since 1960 to cause leukemia. After testing and learning that employees were exposed to this benzene on a regular basis every day at work, and then when they reached their maximum level, they were let go. They had to find another job. I just didn't like the idea of disposable people being exposed to things that caused cancer. So that was my motivating factor for buying an electric vehicle. I bought one last year, a Chevy Volt, and I'm very happy with it. It's good for commuting. It's good for errands. I can run on electricity for all those things.
Lynn, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Do you hear about, similar stories from people who do make the switch that there are just so many bigger societal issues that are playing a role in the purchases that they're making?
Yeah, it's a great question. There are a number of factors why people do go electric, and that's a great example. That kind of reminds me of the public health or even the environmental health sort of, viewpoint, which a lot of folks transition to EVs for, especially a lot of the early adopters, looking at public health, looking at, just general emissions from vehicles and how can they, better accommodate that, decreasing emissions, they purchase an electric vehicle, looking at public health, looking at environment. Also just availability, what's available on the market now. As the EV market has grown and as people become more aware of electric vehicles, they're more prone to seeing what's out there, what options are there. Like even here in Madison, the Madison area, we've got, the VW ID.4, we've got a Mustang Mach-E, we've got Nissan Leaf, we've got the Audi e-tron, Chevy Bolt, BMW i3. The number of options are increasing. We've got the Ford F-150 Lightning coming out, the Ford, electric truck coming out next year, I believe. So I think a lot of it, too, was initially, aside from early adopters transferring over for, converting to electric vehicles for various reasons, I think now it's becoming more because they're more available. People are more aware of electric vehicles, how far they actually can drive. That we're, constantly promoting that, range anxiety is kind of a thing in the past almost now. It's going away. As we increase infrastructure deployment and also as we have increased battery ranges, look at any electric vehicle. You're going to see 200, 300 mile ranges per charge. That's significant. So I think when we're looking at why people are buying now, I think it's because of that. I think it's because they just understand better about what electric vehicles are, how far they can drive, and just the benefits overall of them.
So we only have about a minute left, but I wanted to ask a question on Lisa's behalf. She wrote in to ask, first, how much does it charge to cost your electric vehicle when you're not at home? And does any kind of charger work with any brand of car? For instance, could she charge a Honda at a Tesla charger?
So the second question, no. However, Tesla is, so we all know Tesla has its own proprietary sort of charging stations. However, Elon has made the announcement a couple months ago that Tesla is going to open up its stations to CCS compatibility, meaning any newer vehicle on the market that's not a Tesla can, you know, charge there. Now, when that's going to happen, I don't know. But as far as cost to charge, it really depends on, there's so many different variables involved on who's the site host, meaning where's the charging station, who owns it, who operates it. But generally speaking, there are different ways to charge, you know, whether it's a flat fee, whether it's per kilowatt minute, whether it's per kilowatt hour. And it really depends on who the site host is. But it's generally, you can take a look at, again, go back to the Alternative Fuels Data Center. You can actually go there. You can look at a station, click on it. It'll tell you exactly how much that particular site host charges for that station, just so you're aware of how much you're going to be paying in a charge.
Well, Jeremy, we'll have to leave it there. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Jeremy Orr is the Emerging Technologies Program Manager for the nonprofit Renew Wisconsin, which promotes renewable energy efforts. And he joined us today to talk about the growing electric vehicle industry. Up next is news and a story of our Wisconsin life. Then we talk about challenges facing school districts as they face a bus driver shortage. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.